Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our studies on the model prayer that our Lord gave to his disciples in the sixth chapter of the book of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. The Lord Jesus Christ gave this prayer as a model prayer. He says, "After this manner pray ye." And it's the Lord's prayer only in the fact that he was the origin of the outline. It's really an outline. And we want to just go through the prayer briefly and notice the differences of the approach in a matter of our own prayer life. For instance, it starts out, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We need to be persons of reverence. Hallowed be thy name. It's well to reverence. I once knew of a man who, before he went into the presence of God, he just calmed his soul and his spirit and quietly entered his presence. And I thought that was a good practice to follow. He was revering the presence of the Lord. We're speaking to somebody mighty and great when we speak to him. And then the next phrase is, "Thy kingdom come." We need to be persons of faith. God promised that the kingdom of Christ is coming. Doesn't look like it now in the world, does it? But that is going to be fulfilled. We need to be persons of faith. And then the next, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We need to be persons of obedience. If we're going to ask for his will to be done on earth, we should obey. And then, "Give us this day our daily bread." We need to be persons of dependence. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." We need to be forgiving persons. And then today on the broadcast, we want to consider the fact, "Deliver us from evil." And it's really the evil one. Many versions make it that way. Deliver us from the evil one. We're no match for Satan. We need to be persons of humility and dependence upon the Word of God and dependence upon help from God himself. And then the next broadcast, we will close the outline for this model prayer. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We need to be persons given to worship, and we'll certainly find plenty in that last closing outline that we can indeed praise God and worship him. Okay, let's consider our topic for the day. Deliver us from the evil one. We need to be persons of humility. Satan, in his arrogance, tempted our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the fourth chapter of Matthew, let's see how the Lord handles Satan and his temptation. All right? Verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Our Lord Jesus Christ here answers Satan with the Word of God. He takes the place of an humble man by being subject to the Word of God. Now, his Father's will is expressed in the Word of God, for him and for us too, for that matter. And in that expression of the Father's will, our Lord Jesus Christ is approaching God in that manner, as an humble man. Then we have to consider the fact that in the humility of Michael, the archangel, when he approached the Lord. Let's watch Michael, the archangel, when he approaches the Lord, or that is when he was had a conflict with Satan. We read in Jude verses 8 and 9, only one chapter in the book of Jude. We read there, "Likewise these filthy dreamers," and Jude is writing about the apostates of his day, and those men, those evil men that had no reverence for dignities, or they were completely engrossed completely occupied with themselves. Likewise, these filthy dreamers, these apostates, defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now Michael is one of the most powerful angels of God. He's mentioned many times in the scriptures. And look what he does. He durst not bring against Satan a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now we have to learn something here from Michael. Satan wanted them. I think that the dispute was actually founded upon our scriptural account of the burial of Moses. I think I'm going to read that portion of scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 and 6. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. He was all by himself when he died, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him, the Lord, of course, is the subject here. He buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. And no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. God the Father buried Moses. Now, here, he buried Moses in secret for a very, very good reason. I think that Satan wanted to make Moses' body a fetish for Israel to worship. You recall when the serpents attacked the Israelites in the wilderness, and God gave them the instruction to make a serpent of brass and put that serpent of brass on a pole, and if anybody saw that serpent of brass, then he was healed immediately. If he looked at the serpent of brass, he was healed. Beautiful picture of Christ on the cross, taking our place on the cross. If we will look and see what happened there, we will be healed as well as the Israelites. But you know what the Israelites did later? They actually worshipped that brazen serpent. God the Father did not want Israel worshipping Moses and his body. He did not want them, Israel, to make a fetish out of that. Satan wanted to do it, but God in his wisdom evidently used Michael to keep the burial place a secret. Now, here is two cases of humility. The Lord himself, Michael the archangel, says, "The Lord rebuke thee." He didn't speak against the devil with railing accusation. He said simply, "The Lord rebuke you." Now here are two wonderful, beautiful examples of the humility that we need to feel when we go through the so-called Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer really that he gave to them. We need to be persons of humility. Deliver us from the evil one. We're not able to deliver him. But I'll tell you, the word of God can tell us how we can be spared from defeat with him. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 11 to 18. I think I'm just going to read them. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, satanic forces, if you please, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, that is the day of temptation, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the margin has it more correctly, the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, pardon me, which is the word of God. Now, like our Lord Jesus Christ in the threefold temptation that Satan gave to him, he met each one of those temptations with a quotation from the Word of God. That Word was enough, and that Word is ours. It is available to you and me in the defeat of Satan. We just simply tell Satan what God has ordered, and God's Word will be fulfilled. How wonderful it is. And then we have another resource, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now look at this a moment, if you will, please. The weapons of our warfare are used in combat with satanic forces. It's plainly stated. We read it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, I'll tell you, we're in a battle that's a spiritual battle. Now, how important it is to indeed know the Word of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ just quoted the Scripture to put Satan to rout, and he left him. He could not answer, he could not deny, he could not controvert the Word of God. Now, you and I need to know the Word of God. We read in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That Word will keep us from sin. And then we read, we read, "Lead us not into temptation." God is not going to, we need his help. We need his leading. We need his guidance. And how important it is that we ask for that guidance, that leading, and that he might indeed watch over us and keep us, for we are no match with Satan. Oh, I think of the subtlety of Satan in the Garden of Eden, when he drove that wedge between man and God and caused man to sin so that God had to put him out of the Garden of Eden. I think when he drove that wedge, oh, how effective he was. But that was not all of it. He gave Adam an evil nature, that old evil nature of sin within us that does not even disappear with conversion. And that evil nature must be indeed guarded, because Satan can appeal to it. We need to listen to the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to be in prayer to God. We need to follow his leading and guidance. Oh, what a pertinent prayer for you and me. Deliver us from evil. We need to be persons of humility. Our Father, we thank you today that you have given us the clue and the means, the weapons against Satan. Help us to use them with power by the Spirit of God. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.